going on. I mean, to take every single bit of mitigating step we can, so to minimise the danger. And at least, I mean, it would have the advantage of ICANN being on the front foot, being seen to support users as much as possible, and being seen to provide as much information and assistance as possible. And really, those are the only conditions that I'd be happy to move forward. Thank you.
We'll take a brief survey at the end about how many people have changed their opinion. Two issues. The internet breaks regularly. If you run internet infrastructure, it breaks. If you are even a moderate size ISP, you have technical people who can fix things. So let's put it in perspective. The internet is highly unreliable. Routing problems happen all the time. And if you're running an ISP, you have people around who can fix these kind of things. So I'm not worried about that level. Next, we have Eduardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, this thing about the rollover is like a conundrum, because, you know, the mission of ICANN is to keep the DNS secure, but also stable. Once this rollover comes in, it's going to be totally unstable, because there will be people that the thing will not work. I don't understand the whole process, but I think once you change it, it has to be changed at the same time, in every time zone around the world. So let me tell you, that will, if that's the case, it will stop the internet for some things. I understand this also, this is going to happen in October 11. It's very close to, say, September 11. Okay, well, that's the way that's what I felt when somebody was going to be in October 11. And the last thing is that I learned a long time ago that if it's working, don't fix it.
But it's working, and with a potential of breaking in a really serious way. Remember, if the key is compromised, no red lights go on. Suddenly things start going on, and eventually you will determine that we think someone is mangling the root, and then we'll have to roll the key. So it's an unknown. And it's bad cryptographic practice to not do it.
Many people have just tried to find the Coca-Cola formula. They haven't yet in all these years.
There's not as much at stake, actually, in this case, in the Coca-Cola case. There's only billions of dollars in that case.
Sebastian.
Merci. La question pour moi c'est
Well, my question would be, are we in the same situation than year 2000 bug, Y2K? Are we going to talk a lot, communicate a lot, nothing happens? And then we say, oof, why did we spend so much time on it? If I understand clearly, we need to have the DNSSEC. So we have some technical skills at that level. They went up to DNSSEC, which is not that easy. ISP doesn't have DNSSEC. It hasn't been done yet. And it's a pretty big company, a pretty big ISP. So I believe that this is something which is not that complicated, which is not that dangerous, since the people that already dealt with DNSSEC have enough technical skills to deal with the key rollover. Thank you.
Cardo.
Ricardo Honquist, para los registros. Va a hablar.
This is Ricardo Honquist for the records. I'm going to speak in Spanish. What I don't see is a strategic plan or a marketing campaign. I was hearing that you were saying we're going to talk to the REITs, the RIRs, about the addresses where or addresses are not properly resolving. We should have done this a year ago. We've already talked to the banks. For me, the main implementers of DNSSEC, it's the banks, it's those who transfer money, those who bring and take money more than an ISP. We have already talked to the world, regional, and national bank organizations. I don't see that there is a plan from the point of view of ICANN to talk to those involved, and many of them don't know this is happening. Perhaps October 11 is still a valid date, but a valid date, as Holly was saying, with clear things in the middle between now and October 11 that I don't really see them. I don't see that they're coming here and that they're asking for our support to talk to our local ALSs, to talk to the different ISPs that will be the users. How can we help? But at the end of the day, we will be affected. I can't really imagine a country that has have three or four banks where DNSSEC is not working and that they can't transfer money that day. This can cause a financial crisis in many of our small countries. And this can happen, actually. So it's not only that you're not going to be able to have access to the internet.
Tijani.
Thank you very much. Tijani speaking. First of all, Alan, if you make comment after each commenter, you will impact the decision of people. So please comment as everyone take the floor.
I have stopped and I put myself in the queue.
Okay, thank you. This is a very wise decision. So I come back to the subject. People who think that they are safe if we don't make the rollover because the rollover can make the internet stop. I tell them that they have as much risk, perhaps more risk, if they don't change the key. It is exactly, what is it? If someone can hack your key or the DNS key, you don't have anything after that. So the danger is there. And if we want to have something properly, we have to do things properly. And the technical staff, the technical people, said that we have to do it. I understand that there is this problem of resolver. There is this problem of resolver. But there are solutions. First of all, ICANN will make a campaign, an outreach campaign, to make all the ASPs or all operators know that this rollover may affect the resolvers that are not up to date. And it is only a software update, finalement. The problem, I know that everyone didn't do it, and perhaps they will not do it. But the solution, and ICANN should say that, the solution, if you are not sure of what you have, just turn it off, turn the DNSSEC off, and your internet will continue working. And after, when the key is rolled, you can put it on, and if you have a problem, you turn it off, and you fix the problem. In this case, you will not have a big problem. There is not a catastrophe. But if you keep the same key since the beginning, I don't know how many, 5 years ago, it was planned that it is changed yearly. So.
Abdel Jalil.
Thank you very much. Abdel Jalil Bashar Bong speaking. My question is, we talked about the KSK key, but what will be the impact for the end user in Chad that is going to connect? How can you explain that? How can we have more information about it in simple terms? If we do not change the key, if I understand clearly, it's going to have an impact on the internet. But how many people do not have an internet connection? Is it going to be seen as a censorship? Where is the key? How does it work? What is going to be the impact?
Javier, I think.
Yes. Javier Rua Jovet for the record, listening to everybody. You know, on the technical side, there's experts out there, and I think there's a consensus that the risks might not be catastrophic. But I think the issue here is more political, and what Ricardo says and also what Sebastian said with similar premises, but falling on different sides of the issue. But so you have Y2K. The world was going to end, and accordingly, you know, they made a huge, I mean, the world, a huge marketing, a huge informational effort. The world didn't end. That's fine. The world is not going to end with the KSK change. If it's not, but some things could go wrong. And if you look back, and ICANN said did little or nothing to warn in a way that is heard. You know, the U.S. is a bit crazy right now. So you can't, one thing we can predict is the unpredictability of some people in office, right? So it's, if we're going to protect the stability of the internet, we have to protect the existence of ICANN, you know, and which could be brushed away by a minor mistake. So this is not a technical issue, really. It's a political issue about ICANN's, and I hate the word optics. It's ICANN's reputation, and the capacity of people to take things, create crisis for their own benefit. We cannot be aiding that, you know, situation. I think, you know, caution is required, and the maximum caution possible.
Hadja.
Hadja Al-Minyawi for the record. The only risk actually that I see is that we haven't done it before, so we need to go ahead and do it. Responding to Ricardo, where he said that the key is going, there is a time where this key is stopped and the other one is working, there has to be an overlap, a period of overlap where both keys are actually used. So the 2010 key will be used along with the two, will be used for signing, while the 2017 key is present until the systems learn about the 2017 key. So there is a period of overlap. But I do agree that there will be the time where one key will be stopped and the other should be used when the systems learn about the 2017 key using their 2010 key. So there is a period of overlap. No, one will be used, but the other will be present until the systems are able to use the 2010 to learn about the 2017.
That isn't the way it works, but we'll get to that later.
John LaPrise for the record. So I have a few brief comments. One is that when we've spoken with the technical community and with David today, the sense of the technical community is sort of like, well, if it breaks, then users be damned. And he said that in no uncertain terms. So, and I understand from the tech community, they're technologists. We represent users. That's our primary concern, first and foremost. With respect to risk, we're talking a lot about the potential risk of who might be affected or what. But we've also heard from the technical community that the risk is unbounded. The data they have, they don't understand. They don't understand why it's happening, what's happening. They just see the graphs they have, just have it, the non-compliance rising in the graphs. And who knows where those graphs will be in 6 months. With respect to the communication plan, so one of the other points that was brought up by the technical community was that they don't know where the resolvers are. How are you going to craft a communications plan to reach those people and the people who operate those resolvers? those are my core points. And I just want to reassert that, you know, as ALEC, we represent the interest of end users first and foremost. And that's what we really need to be concerned with. Thank you. Okay.
Taking a very short pause, we still have 1, 2, 3, or about 7 people in the queue. And if we want to allow a little bit of time for the discussion on metrics, then I'll close the queue right now. Or do you want to let it run? No. Pini, I'm asking, General, this is important. This keep it going.
This is important.
Okay.
It's very important.
All right. Then we will keep the queue going. Olivier.
Thank you very much, Alan. Olivier Capanoblon speaking. And so I think that one of the problems that we're faced with here is the number of unknown unknowns that we have in front of us. It's not more so as, well, it will break, millions of people will be out of internet connection because the resolvers will not work, etc. The fact of the matter is that the internet is so diversified that there are many different ways in which people access the net and the kind of topology by which they have it. Some might rely on a single resolver, which of course puts them at risk if that resolver fails to work. Some are on multiple resolvers, in which case they might see a millisecond delay in resolution. The problem is we don't know. And so the consequences are unknown. The thing itself is unknown because you can't test it. There's no way to actually do a test network and see if things go wrong, what will happen. So the safest solution, of course, is to try and find solutions for it. That said, the internet keeps on having to move forward. So you can't just suddenly say we're going to keep 2 steam engines in a car because this proven technology and the ones that use gasoline explode and kill people, because we'll stick with steam engines all the time. So, you know, you do have to move forward. One corridor talk there was one thing which is of concern, of course, is that there's no real exact analysis of this up to a certain point. And corridor talk appears to be amplifying rumors that the board might be asking the ESSAC to look into the issue and to provide an ESSAC advice or ESSAC report on the issue, which will take time. And the question is, how quickly can the ESSAC come up with something? I don't know if it will answer our questions, but with regards to what we should do, my personal view is we should definitely think of plan Bs and plan Cs, and certainly on communication we have our part to play. That said, I was very disappointed with the response of the GAC that we heard a bit earlier. I was also, through corridor talk, one representative came out afterwards and said, look, there are so many junior people here, they still need to learn a few things about ICANN. So we have to admit this as well, and thus we probably need to take leadership on this. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm next in the queue. And I will, Tijani said I shouldn't rebut. I was trying only to point out where someone was saying something which was, as a fact, which was technically wrong, but I've restrained myself. But you'll have to forgive me now. The details are unknown, but people who have been doing this and care about it do have some pretty good ideas. We know DNSSEC has not been widely accepted. Those who have not accepted it aren't going to be impacted. So, you know, and we have some moderately good numbers, not 100% accurate on DNSSEC. So when David tells me that their current estimate is maybe 4% of people will be impacted, do we know that's the right number? No. But I have some level of confidence it's not 50 and probably not 20. The numbers aren't that, it is not that unknown. The comment about overlap, the way it works is the resolver allows us to insert the new trust anchor now. It is not being used. So essentially, without going into technically, essentially the resolver that has the new and the old trust anchor will work with either. The resolver that only has the old trust anchor will work until we change it. The moment we change it in the root servers, it's changed. Okay, so you have all of the time to install the second trust anchor. You've had 2 years now.
But then there's a moment of truth where either it, you've installed it and then it will work when we change it in the root servers. Well, essentially, when we install a new version of the root, which is signed with the new key. And once it's signed with the new key, only the new one works. So there is no overlap in the live system. It is a moment of truth. The question about Chad. Well, if Chad doesn't have really good connectivity and the ISPs, you know, are doing their best to provide connectivity, maybe they haven't installed DNSSEC, in which case no one's going to notice anything. If they have installed it and they're a really ISP, as I said before, the internet breaks all the time. Hopefully they know someone. If they've installed DNSSEC, they probably have someone on site who can fix it. Is that 100% guarantee for everyone? No. But gives you a better idea. Turning off DNSSEC. The best estimates from the experts are if anyone turns off DNSSEC, they're going to play it safe and keep it off. It's not a 100% rule, but that's the best guess people can make based on psychology and protecting themselves. We're already seeing, as of today, probably because of the key rollover, people are already turning off DNSSEC who have it today. So that it may not be what you would recommend, but that seems to be what people are doing. Year 2K, I oversaw a major production shop at that point. If everyone had said, it's not a problem, the world would have come close to coming to a close. Most banking systems, airlines, the systems running your corporate business, universities, almost all of them had code that would not work, period. We didn't see a major problem because an awful lot of people around the world spent 2, 3, 4 years rewriting code. So don't just because nothing happened doesn't mean there wasn't a problem. It was real. And unbelievably, it was amazing how many recently built systems had not done it properly. Systems built in the mid-90s were vulnerable in many cases. Ricardo, talking to people, your point about going to banks is a really good one, I think, because central banks and communicating with banking associations is probably a really good place to inject into countries, and they're big enough that they may well have their own DNS servers, and there's a good chance they have DNSSEC enabled. So that's a really good point, and we should pass that on to things. But ICANN is doing a lot of talking. You know, ISPs and people like that, they are talking to the extent that people listen to them, but not everyone listens. But I think our ALSs can, to the extent if you're in a small country anyway, and you have contact with decision makers, you know who runs the ISP, you know who runs the computers for your local central bank, talk to them. I think we have a role to play in communicating with our ALSs, and we should use that to whatever extent we can. Next we have in the queue, Shun.
Thank you. This is Sean for the record. Just for the record as well, I'm not sure the technical point you were trying to correct when I made my statement initially, because that is the thing. The worst that can happen for end user is actually for him to change his resolver. That's just it, to the one that is compliant. I don't know what technical points you were correcting there. Now to my main point. We are not the technical community. We are end users. I happen to belong to the technical community as well. And the technical community has given a plus one for this. We are not the ones that will fix the issue. Whether we roll over on the 11th or we postpone it for 1 year, whatever issues that come up, which are technical issues, we are not the community that will fix it. It is still the technical community that will fix it. So I think we need to recognize from that perspective that this problem is technical and it is something that can be contained, especially if the technical community are fine with it. And we heard it clearly. So I have no problem with us going the route of awareness, which is what we should do, but strongly saying we should not support the rollover, it's not a responsibility that we should bear. It's a serious burden that we want to bear because we don't have the solution to fix it if it becomes very disastrous. IPv6 has been here for long, for so long. People have not deployed it up to now. Some have not deployed it. It is their cup of tea that they will face when the nothing start breaking, when their network start breaking. It's their problem. We have to do what we have to do. We can't because of a certain portion of users or certain portion of ISPs who are not responding or reacting to changes on the internet deny progress for those who have done the needful. Because that is it. That is what we eventually do if we don't allow this rollover to happen. People have been compliant. Let's reward them for it. Thank you.
Alberto.
Alberto Soto for the records. Unfortunately, I would say that I don't agree with the last opinion because we are representing end users and we need to take into account all the elements and measures being taken within a multi-stakeholder system so that we can decide if these measures will affect or not end users. Particularly, Ricardo said that there is a marketing plan. Well, I'm not sure about that. I don't know if that marketing plan is available or not, but I am pretty sure, I am fully sure that I talked to our RIR, and I mentioned that, to offer that Lagrallo with all its countries and ALSs, because I have the technical, the necessary knowledge for that, we could reach the ISPs, we could reach universities, I mean, we could reach anyone who has a data center to perform a survey, and because they requested us certain help with the implementation of IPv6, because in the LAC region there is a delay in this sense. So we are supposed to perform a survey for this. And I also mentioned the KSK issue, and they told me, yes, you can go ahead with that, but I don't have a concrete answer yet. So I don't know if that marketing plan has been implemented or not, or if we were supposed to reach more than 20 countries, but nothing was done about it. So I don't know if the outreach was properly done in that sense. And additionally, we need to take into account, I mean, Alan said that internet broke down, but if internet breaks down right now, well, it would be ICANN's fault.
Bartlett, for the record, I just want to say really quickly, fear is a very, very, very bad advisor. And, you know, and if you have a decision to make and the primary reason for not making a decision or whatever is fear, then you're probably not using the appropriate metrics. I'm listening to the examples that are raised in support of saying we shouldn't go ahead. And I'm going through them one by one. Let's start, for example, with the banking example. Now, the proposal was excellent, but using banks as a category isn't a good idea. Because as risk management goes, for any category of persons who engage with the internet, banks are more likely than not to have correct and credible information relative to everybody else. So they're probably not going to be the people who can't be reached by ICANN and so on. Just an odds game. Then John had raised the list from the Diana transition. But when you actually read through the list, all the matters that are listed as, what's this phrase they used, in terms of like basically high risk, they're saying the likelihood is next to zero, pretty much. And then two, I also want to endorse Bastian's observations as well on that. But I don't want to jump into that too much. We're not here to talk ad infinitum. I just want to go through the points quickly. There was the next point that was raised saying, well, this is really a political issue. It's about ICANN's reputation. What if it goes wrong slightly? And so on. Okay. But then in support of that, it was said, well, you know, we reference end users and so on. But to my mind, those are kind of separate things. I mean, whatever PR backlash ICANN may face isn't directly related to our role as supporting end users. That's just in a nutshell. I don't want to go through it anymore. Just, here's the bigger point. In my view, the issue ought not to be whether we ought to go ahead, but how ICANN ought to go ahead. Some very valid concerns that have been raised so far, well, the effectiveness of their marketing, their educating the community. For example, I don't think we as a committee are sufficiently educated on the nature of the KSK rollover to have an even more informed debate that we perhaps should be having at this point. So we can start there. So, in fact, I'll stop there for now. I don't like going out too long.
Jami.
Thank you very much. Tijani speaking. Javier, I hear you. And I can tell you that those who are the most aware that the transition shouldn't be collapse are the American people. You know why? Because they know that there is at least two other routes ready to run. And the biggest fear they have is the fragmentation. So don't think one moment that the American will accept the fragmentation. So they will not ask to bring back ICANN to the NTIA. This is the first point. Second point, John and Alberto, it is because I think of the end users. It is because I want to preserve the security of the end users that I ask to make the rollover. If you don't make the rollover, you don't know when you may have a big problem. So if you want to have your system secure, if you have the DNSSEC, of course, you have to make the rollover. And last point, I don't think that we have to decide according to presumptions. Presumption that if the DNSSEC is turned off, it will never be turned on, or something like this, or perhaps there is no technician to make this operation, or to those are all presumptions, and we cannot build our decision on presumptions. Thank you.
I'm actually sort of like sitting here listening to, you know, what sounds particularly scary. And I guess from, you know, as I mentioned before, in our region, I mean, it's there would be very few, if any, who've got DNSSEC. I mean, we're basic here. And I guess in a way, you know, for them, ignorance is bliss. Until the sky falls down on their head, of course. But it's not as if, I mean, ICANN, David Conrad, came to what, last year, came to the gathering of the Pacific Island Telecommunications Association, and that's all the telecom operators in the region, and he gave them a great talk. I mean, I sat there, I listened to it because I was thinking, how's he going to target it? Because, I mean, a lot of these, operators, not non-English speaking, they're not, English isn't their first language. But he targeted it, his talk, at a level which really anybody could have understood. And these are technical people anyway, so they should have understood what he was talking about. Anyway, and I had a chat with him while he was there, but... not so very long ago, I had to contact him for something, and in passing, I asked him if he'd had any feedback on people who'd taken up the DNSSEC after his talk. And he went and checked, and there was not one. So, you know, what do we do?
Kylie, next.
Thank you. And, well, seems like I'm the only person who took a unique position at not taking a position. Well, my reasoning is like the following. Okay, say somebody in my family, a loved one, is sick to the hospital, and the doctor says he or she needs an operation. There's a certain benefits and there's certain risk. As for me, what is my opinion? I said, I don't have an opinion. I'm not a medical doctor. You are the medical doctor. You are the professional. You weigh the benefits versus the risk. And then you decide. All I want is I want my family to be well. So that's why I didn't take a position, because it's not for me to make to judge it. And still, I'm not convinced that I can take a position to judge on this issue. Still, so that's my position, why I'm taking this position. Thank you. It's possible,
but thank you. John and I will be leaving imminently. I'm going to make a couple of comments, and I want to take a brief survey around the room. In terms of marketing programs, I believe ICANN is doing a lot. But if you believe that you have some idea of who should be contacted, other than doing it through our own ALSs, which we don't need them to do, then speak up, because if you think you have a good idea, maybe you do. I suggested banking because Ricardo said, if the banks fail, we have a problem. Well, yes, hopefully the banks are awake and paying attention. But just in case they have installed DNSSEC and haven't, it's another path, communications. Now, it's not, that we're saying it's going to change the world. And someone made a comment of, I don't remember on which side, it may have been Tajani, on the let's go side, of presumptions. Everything we're talking about is based on presumptions on both sides. So we are, ultimately, we will have to make a decision of go and no go based on unclear, unfull information. That's, unfortunately, life. Okay, before I leave, and John, I know you're in the queue, and maybe we will want to let you go next just to join. Just to get it in, the whole session only has 15 minutes left, or 20 minutes now. Is there anyone here who has changed their opinion based on the survey we took initially? Holly has changed her opinion?
A very
short comment, because I do have to walk out.
I would vote yes, but what I said the second time around was I would like a lot of assurance as to the kinds of campaigns that will be widespread, that will ensure that ICANN's reputation is for proactive warning and so forth and so forth. On that kind of condition, I'd say, because I understand it would be a good thing, but I also understand I would like ICANN to be taking as much as it could do. Just as you said, Y2K, everybody, there was no disaster because of what they did. So if we can push that line,
Holly,
I would vote for yes.
You may well be in a position to change. Tajani's changing?
No.
Then let's leave it be. Tajani wants to be in the queue.
Oh.
Okay. You have 15 minutes left before the break, a little bit longer if you want to go through the break. John and I will be outside. We have a meeting out here. We can't go past the break. John, if you want to speak quickly, and then both of us will run out.
John LaPrise for the record. So I just want to add a little bit of nuance for people to understand my position is that, yes, I am saying no to the rollover at the current date. What I would like is for, on the technical side, the data to be better analyzed, because right now the technical community is not understanding what they're seeing in the data flows. So I want better understanding there. And I would like a better communications campaign prior to the rollover. Thank you.
Okay, then. Off you go. Okay, we'll continue on with the queue if people want to do so. We've got Daniel. I've got his name.
He's on the list.
Daniel, for the record. I'll assume I don't understand much about this whole thing, but it looks like there is fear of what is going to happen to the internet. And whether they like it or not, at a certain point in time, they're going to make the rollover. So the end user needs the internet, which is a constant factor. But what about in case the rollover does not take place and the internet breaks? What will happen? They'll still go back and complain. So my opinion is, considering all other factors constant, the technical community already understand the risk of the future. Then let's mitigate the risk. Make the rollover. For those ones who haven't updated their systems, they'll go ahead and do it because they'll have to fight to get back their clientele, because that's where the business is. Thank you.
Sebastian, did you have your... Okay, you cut up, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Just a point. In part of the world, you don't have... You have more than one provider to be connected to internet. You use something for your phone, something for your laptop. In the other country where you just have the phone, there are usually two or three company over there, and it's not so much, and we can't contact them directly to be sure that those phone company are doing what it's needed to be sure that end user have access. Therefore, I think that there are mitigation way to mitigate the situation. And yeah, don't forget that you don't have just one single item to connect to internet in large part of the world. Thank you.
Thank you, Javier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, on the point of whether or not this is the... Javier Ruajovet, for the record. On the point of whether or not this is of the interest of the end users, I understand this varies a lot from region to region. In Puerto Rico... Puerto Rico is an early adopter of the NSSEC. .PR is like the third in the world, and others have followed suit. So it matters to the end users that are close to me. And and thank you, Tijani for you know, answering me directly on your opinion. But I think, and Adam talked about presumptions. I think what you said to me is presuming a world where geopolitics are run by adults, and that geopolitics are run on national interests. Trump is crazy, and he surprises his closest staffers. Imagine the civil service and the adults. So, you know, I know nothing or next to nothing about the technical aspect of this, but I know what, you know, U.S. politicians from the right want to do with ICANN, you know, and Trump will do whatever he feels like in that morning. Forget about presumptions. So that's it.
Thank you, Javier. Noreen.
Thank you very much. My perception was that the process of DNSSEC rollover can be stopped at any time. Isn't it technically possible to stop it if something happens unexpected? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Holly, do you want to say anything more? You're in the queue for...
I think it's all been said. I think I've made it clear. And really, picking up the point that Javier said, I think it's really important that there is a very widespread and target, well, widespread, visible, ICANN and others publicity campaign. I think there has to be a lot of understanding about, as much as possible, about the risks. I understand the risks of not going ahead. And I think anything that any comment we make, we must reflect our reservations. We must, in fact, say we're disappointed if we have to actually turn off DNSSEC because it's a security thing. But point out that actually our concerns are really with the end user. I mean, I think there are lots of things we have to say if we're going to say yes. Thank you.
Tijani. And then, then you go.
Thank you. Thank you. I heard several times people saying that we don't know what are the resolvers that may have those problems. So to whom we will reach out? This is not a problem at all. Those are not end users. We are speaking about providers. And the providers, all the providers have contracts, and contracts remount, go till ICANN. So you have a reseller, or I don't know, and then a registrar and registry, etc. And at the end, you have ICANN. So ICANN have all the record for every one of those operators, and it is easy to reach to them. We are not talking about people, about out user, end users. End users, yes, you have to know to whom you have to go. So if there is a campaign, it will be a campaign for every operator, everyone. And this is the only way that the campaign can be done. Second, Alan said everything is based on a presumption. I will repeat what I said and tell me what is the presumption. Tell me what is the presumption. I say that if we don't make the key rollover, we have a big problem because we have already 5 years with the same key, and to hack the servers, it's something that hacker can do. And when you have your server hacked, you will be in big trouble. This is not a presumption. Second, do the rollover. How to do it? If you don't have visibility and you are really frightened, go safely. Ask everyone who has the DNSSEC to turn it off. Make the rollover. Ask them to return it on. And if there is a problem, the one who has a problem, turn it off. Fix the problem and then turn it on. Where is the presumption? No presumption. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Look, we've only got a few minutes left, but I've got Alberto, Olivier, and Satish. 1 minute each.
And then we do some.
Alberto Sato speaking. I have been working more than 30 years in IT, and more than 20 of those I've been in charge of the full responsibility of the IT area with the implications in security. I've heard the word fear 3 times here, and not being afraid is not being brave, but I've never been afraid. I've also always had the responsibility of doing what you have to do in IT, which is a risk analysis. The risk analysis is not the same as fear. I do a risk analysis with a certain amount of information, and the information I have is not enough. It's just not enough. If the technical area in ICANN will provide me how is it that they got there, and what is the presumption that there will not be many end users who will suffer, and that there will be a certain plan B or C or D, or that there will be a certain regulation, then I would vote yes. But so far, with that presumption and with the warnings that I have, I will have to say no. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto.
Thank you, Maureen. Olivier Crépin-Ablon speaking. And I wanted to respond to Narine Khachaturian's question regarding being able to roll back if you decide to start the rollover and then say, no, it's not working, we can stop it. I know Cheryl replied, but she was off mic, and the answer is no, you cannot. Once you've started it, you can't go back, because you'll basically end up with some systems that will continue moving forward, otherwise the other ones that might roll back. It would be more of a mess than just continuing forward.
Thank you. Satish, that's the end of the queue. So.
Thank you, Satish, for the record. A couple of observations. One is that I support the rollover. That is a clear thing. But there are both technological and political fallouts that can happen. The technological fallouts are actually not that serious, according to my estimate. The political fallout, Tijani mentioned two countries ready with their roots. I know one country at least, I don't know which is the second, who are ready with their alternate route. So now, if this gets out of hand, now I run Linux, and I run a resolver on my laptop. Many wireless access points, for example, run resolvers. Most of them do not use DNSSEC, so they are immune from this. But we must have an estimate of, either by simulation or by some other study, we must have an estimate of what percentage of the internet is under threat, and whether this number that we hear, is it really realistic? Well, Shun says it's impossible to do that, but I'm not so sure. Maybe ICANN has some means of, you know, even maybe they can make a kind of insulated sandbox kind of a place where they can test out this sort of a thing. So I am scared more of what Javier was talking about in terms of the political fallout, especially given the fact that, you know, on the one hand we have Trump, and on the other hand we have other countries which are ready with their roots. So that kind of a situation is what scares me a little more than the technical part. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I think that we've had like nearly 90 minutes of really fantastic discussion here. In fact, I have learned so much about the whole... I didn't go to the last session. We were busy talking money. But I'd like Cheryl to sort of like do a summation, because you wouldn't want mine. But one of the things that I would like to get is that we actually come out with some written summation, but if we can... And probably need to find a pen holder, but I'd really like something to come out that we can actually present. You know, there are so many great ideas, you know, the marketing, the need for sort of like more communication, more information given out. And, I mean, even between now and October, if that's the way they're going to go. So I'll leave it to Cheryl.
Thank you, Maureen. Cheryl Langdonorf for the transcript record. This is one of those rare occasions when I'm actually struggling to remember a more fulsome and fascinating discourse around your table. So congratulations. From my observer status, you have had a very productive and very useful conversation. I suspect, however, if I've heard correctly, that it's a conversation that is not ready to be concluded yet, that there are some what-ifs, buts and maybes to be considered, and based on what Maureen was saying just then, perhaps if we have one or two people consolidate what we believe we think we have heard, some of notes have been taken, and that's put up on a wiki page, while all your juices are going and while you're as passionate about this subject as you clearly are, and you need to be, let's see if we can progress this to a white paper for at least discussion. I've also heard a couple of needs for clarification, and I've also thought a couple of times, well, one thing, of course, perhaps to ameliorate even the potential political fallout, is if we cannot, as someone pointed out, get to the people who are doing the resolving, because we don't know where those resolvers actually resolve, why not prepare and have ready to go a very professional and aggressive PR exercise to minimise an effect on ICANN? So there's probably some smart ways of thinking. So with your permission, I'm going to propose to you all that we have, obviously I think Alan's quite passionate about it, but I'd like someone on the counter arguments, and maybe ask Javier to hold the banner on the I'm a very cautious side of things. Maureen's made some notes, and if anyone would like to give Maureen their name to help with, perhaps Hadia, that'd be perfect. So you've got Hadia at least. This will just be a rough little drafting exercise, and then you all get to work on it with the wiki. Sebastian, over to you.
It's thank you, Cheryl. Just one point. There were three names on the Skype who say they are willing to take the pain. Then maybe it's a good way to take them. I guess there is Bastian. And Bastian write something. I guess Sean was also and Ida. But that's just my...
Thank you. Of course, this is not pen holding the document. This is drafting a precursor. So if you then decide you're going to draft a comment, you still need drafters for the comment. But let's then work out a time. Maureen will get in contact with all those people and let you know when during this meeting you're going to have to make time to start putting that first case together. Can I ask you all to, as we usually do, there's another meeting in this room. When?
Now?
Okay. Can we clear our spaces as quickly as possible? And thank you one and all for a very productive meeting.
Thank you, everybody. We better move, I think. And I will meet with Haja, Sean.
Grab them, take them outside.
Yeah. Yep. Sean and Bastian. Bastian.